I hope they take away that being yourself is not something to be afraid of. It's actually probably the thing that makes you the most successful. And there can be some power in just being yourself and letting that authenticity speak through, because whatever you're most passionate about, like whatever's the most meaningful to you, that's going to be what the audience picks up on. People can sniff that stuff out, man, and they swipe away faster than Sam can lose a date. I would want people to just be comfortable being yourselves, not just in how you want to show up on camera or behind a microphone, but in life in general.
At militarycreatorcon.com.
Ready to execute. Roger.
Welcome, everyone, to the Military Creator Con series. Thank you so much for joining us, and make sure that you join us in Arlington, Texas, April 16th to the 18th, where the military veteran community, whether Guard, active duty, reserve, no matter where you are in your service, please join us. This is where all of those who have served come to serve and embark on the Military Creator Con community. Today, I have the privilege of speaking with Corey Brown, who is a U.S. Army veteran and the creator and host of Eat Your Feelings, a cooking and storytelling show that brings people together around food and honest conversation. After more than 16 years in the military, including a deployment to Iraq with a cavalry unit, Corey discovered that some of the most meaningful conversations happened around a kitchen table. Through his work, he uses cooking, humor, and storytelling to explore resilience, purpose, and connection. Corey lives in Virginia with his family and is passionate about building community through shared experiences. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sean. Glad to be here, man.
I'm super pumped because when I was reading through it, years ago, I'm kind of a podcast launch addict. So I started my show in 2017, sold that, started a couple more, launched about 25 shows for other people. And one of the shows, it's so funny, one of the shows that failed, that we recorded a bunch of episodes and was like, maybe, you never really know the concept until you're actually in it. One of the shows that we recorded and it kind of failed and didn't go anywhere was a show called Failed Dinner Conversations. So it's kind of funny, like, I created a show called Failed Dinner Conversations, and it failed to launch and all that. So the premise was, we want to hear from you. It was a comedy show. We want to hear from you, like, did you come out at the dinner table during Thanksgiving? Did you give news at a family dinner that people weren't expecting? Did you divorce someone at the dinner table? Like, here's your, divorce, like crazy family happenings always are created around the dinner table, good or bad. Right. So that was my whole premise. And, a couple people, like the one guy was like, I found out that my wife was cheating on me with my brother because it kind of came out at the table. But then it was weird because I was supposed to be somewhere and he was supposed to be somewhere. And then somebody had said, remember that time at this? And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, wait, I thought that. And then the stories weren't lining up because everybody was together in one room. And then, yeah, I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. And it was like one of the only really one episodes that I thought was going to take off. And, the show really never did anything.
That's one way of looking at it, I guess. You're right. Family gatherings around the table, even in the living room. I can remember some times when, people weren't getting along quite as nice as you would like them to. But so many more of my experiences around a kitchen table in a kitchen, they're indelible to me. And I go back to them time and time again. It's like the well, I go to the well to get my inspiration or my motivation, my nostalgia kick. I guess I'm blessed a little bit to have had those experiences, and it's kind of what led to a big part of what led to creating the show, for sure.
I love that. Love that. When did you join the Army?
1998.
All right. Yeah. I was my sophomore year that fall. I was a sophomore in high school in 1998.
All right.
I graduated in 01 and then joined the Air Force in 01. So not too far behind you.
Not too far. No.
Nope. Yeah, very, very cool.
Before 9/11 or after 9/11?
After 9/11.
After 9/11? Okay, was that the reason why?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, I was actually a warehouse manager at Discount Tire, and I was doing nothing. Yeah. And that happened, and I was like, that's it. That's my dirty gear moment. Like,
yeah.
I know what I'm going to do with my life now.
I had been in the guard up until 9/11, and then that's when I kind of kicked off a lot of my active duty experience was after that. But, yeah, it was a big moment for us.
Oh, yeah.
As you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. So what are you going to be talking about at Military CreatorCon? What's your session title, and what is the topic on?
So my title is basically kitchen table conversations and how authenticity and storytelling can really help you land an audience and kind of nurture that audience. For me, and I don't want to give it away too much, but I look at what we're doing as, you know, a lot of people say, hey, you're doing this cooking show or you're doing this podcast or you're doing, you know, this other thing. And I was resistant to that for the longest time. I'm like, it's not just a cooking show. It's not a podcast. It's a YouTube show. And I was trying to really figure it out for myself, I think. I knew the foundation was something that had to do with, like, how can we help people know that it's okay not to be okay? And it can be okay to be okay. But there needs to be some space, because I'm not seeing it out there in YouTube land or social, of where mental health can be taken in a way that's not like, I don't want to talk about that anymore, or it's too clinical, or it's too boring. And like, I need something that I can put around these hard conversations that people should be having, but in a way that they'll kind of accept. And we talk about the cooking, and we talk about like cutting up as part of that. It's kind of putting that sugar coating around some medicine. Because quite honestly, I've benefited so much from my life, and everybody associated with the show has had some sort of trauma in their life, whether it's my co-host and his mom dying unexpectedly in a car crash.
Wow.
Or whether it's our producer and her dad being a Vietnam vet and then dying by suicide, and me losing one of my closest battle buddies to suicide. Jesus. I'm like, there's got to be something we can do that can move the needle. And this is what we landed on. And cooking as the vehicle, you know, having people around a table as a vehicle for serving other people.
Yeah.
And those stories that we can talk about that may be from some of the hardest times in our life, some of our worst days, but talking about them and being in a group talking about them with each other, that's really made a difference for me. And I think there's probably a lot of people out there that could benefit from the same thing.
For sure. I'm assuming it's probably a video show, because you're going to be cooking and...
That's right.
And all that. So is it primarily on YouTube?
It is on YouTube. The influence I've had comes from a lot of those YouTube cooking shows.
Yeah.
And even when we filmed it, Sam and I are very, you know, we're not scripted.
Right.
We have a flow, because you got to get through a recipe in order to have a cooking show.
Oh, yeah.
But the talking and all of that stuff is just, we're just being ourselves. But I filmed it in a way I wanted the production value to be high, because I wanted somebody to, if they landed on it, they would get some sense of credibility, because it looks good. It looks like other Food Network style shows. It looks like a lot of the other higher level cooking shows that you can see on YouTube. That's the direction we went in. We have social, you know, handles on all the other platforms. Short form to me is harder. Like, I'll probably learn a lot from talking to people at the conference.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, hitting that sweet spot of, like, you know, 15 to 20 minutes an episode on YouTube, that's kind of what I had in mind when I started.
Okay. So depending on who you host with, I know, like, Apple Podcasts and all that, like, mm-hmm. you can upload video now, you know. I don't know how it's watched or consumed. I think we'll figure out a lot of that. Because I know people back in, like, 2018 that had video podcasts on, like, iTunes, you know? So it's not anything new, but I know that becoming a video-first show, and, I mean, you know, people are... I mean, it's the thing, right? So in your talk, I know people are going to be really excited to hear it. What are you hoping that the audience learns from it?
Yeah, I hope they take away that being yourself is not something to be afraid of. It's actually probably the thing that makes you the most successful. And so learning how your voice can translate on camera, everybody gets nervous. You know, like nobody's immune to those kind of jitters and stuff, especially when you're starting out. And you want to try to sometimes think that, oh, my key to success is I've got to act like this person or I've got to do this thing. And there can be some power in just being yourself and letting that authenticity speak through. Because whatever you're most passionate about, like whatever's the most meaningful to you, that's going to be what the audience picks up on. And I can tell you, like, anytime you get fake, like if we find ourselves chasing trends or something like that, especially on TikTok or Instagram, like people can sniff that stuff out, man. And they swipe away faster, you know, than Sam can lose a date. But it's just like, I would want people to just be comfortable being yourself, not just in how you want to show up on camera or behind a microphone, but in life in general, you know, and matching your desire, matching your passion to what it is you're trying to do with whatever creative endeavor you're doing. You're going to be the most successful that way. At least you'll feel the best.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What drove you to do cooking? You know, I mean, you could host any show that you want to, right? Like, why choose the cooking route? Why not just host a sit-down podcast? You're at a table.
Yeah.
You know, you invite a guest. You know, why did you land on this type of show that you landed on?
I think it goes right back to that, you know, what I find interesting, what has meant a lot in my life. So many of the stories I can tell go back to food and cooking and how, like, that activity is my love language, you know? So, like, my little Taylor Swift moment is cooking something really good and watching other people enjoy it. And that's how I kind of moved into that territory. That I talk about this on podcasts all the time. Like, it took me years to figure out the words and the, like, getting all of these feelings out of me and onto something I could actually work with. And time again, it kept coming back to cooking. I watch YouTube cooking shows like crazy for the past few years. I love to cook. I got a lot of that inspiration from my Nana, you know, and like, it's been a part of my life for a long, long time. And so it was a natural way for me to think like, well, what do you remember? Cause I want the foundation to be that conversation, the mental health awareness journey that we're all can be on, but something had to be the right vehicle for that. And nothing stood out to me more naturally than cooking. I think the podcast ideas and some of those, I think those are follow on things that we will look at down the road. But for me coming into this world, this is how I was going to show up.
Okay. I love that, man. How we show up, I mean, says a lot because people are searching, they're looking for something, and then they land on this and they're like, hey, this might be all right, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that. When you're thinking about the content for the show, what recipes do you come up with? How do you find them? How do you decide? Is it something that you talk about before, or is it the recipes from your Nana?
Yeah, some of them, it's all those. So like there's okay. In season two, which is going to come out hopefully before the end of the month, one of the episodes in season two is built around the Nana breakfast sandwich, which is basically taking the Southern country style breakfast that she used to cook, you know, all the time, effortlessly, might I add, and then combining it into making a sandwich out of it. and that was one of the hardest episodes for me to do personally, because it, I don't know, with her not being around anymore, whenever I feel that connection to her, like it comes with a lot of emotions.
Okay, like
and we
what?
Try to do that with a lot of, well, I mean, Sam talks about his mother not being around anymore. Oof, you know, we had a Christmas episode, which is out on YouTube, and it was talking about like how sometimes the holidays can hit hard for certain people. And he was thinking about his son, who is almost two, I think, but his son will never know his mother, you know, Sam's mother. And that, you know, that caused Sam to have a break, you know, a little breakdown there. Yeah. And that's happened to us several times on the show in different episodes. We're not really planning it. We know it could be there. But yeah, I mean, I think some of that striking, that sort of emotional connection, that tenor is important for us because it's like, that's real. And I think so many times in our lives, we're trying to fight against that. You know, we're trying to be tougher, or to be like, this is what it means to be a man, or this is what it means to be a strong woman, or like whatever. All these societal pressures, they should be more apt to letting you feel your feelings, right? You know, letting you process that. And I think on the show, we allow ourselves that. We've given ourselves the permission for that. And some of the guests come on with some of their stories. You know, we have a guest in season two that talked about domestic violence and some of the stories that she would tell. You know, like, these are all real life things that are happening to many, many people. And we try to like put all that stuff in a box sometimes and just keep carrying on, when in fact, it's probably better to kind of express yourself and be free to have those moments where you can just be human, you know, not like be just a corporate worker or a soldier or like whatever, like all these other identity labels that can be put on us. Like at the end of the day, the one thing we for sure all are humans. And it's just, it boggles my mind of how resistant sometimes we are with like allowing people to have that human emotion.
Yeah, no kidding.
Some I'm sure I didn't answer your question at all, but
it was the longest non-answer of my life. it's so on point though, because I mean, the military community isn't vulnerable. We're all A-type personality, you know. We're all big, hairy American winning machines, you know. Right. And yeah, man, you have a show that allows people to come into that vulnerability and let their guard down a little bit, you know. As the famous saying goes, there's no crying in baseball.
Yeah.
So if you create a safe place, as we hear it all the time, you know, I look at it as, you know, if I can create a place, like Cheers was the original safe place, if you think about it, right? Go to a place, everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you listen to that song, right? And people old enough know, like, when you hear Cheers and you hear the theme song, you know, it's like, that's so true. Your barber knows you. The bartender knows you. Right? Yeah. There's these few professions and these few people that, like, really know you.
You know? You wanted to get a drink with Norm, you know? Like, cozy right up next to him and get a drink.
Right? 100%, 100%. Yeah. So I love that you created this avenue that people can join in that vulnerability. And in this, do you ever say, like, this is a recipe from my Nana?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this is how we, like, do you ever give a little bit of, like, behind the scenes?
Yep, we do that. 'Cause I think it's important to know why we chose a particular thing. Whether that's the recipe or the theme, when we have guests on, and we have guests on for about half of our episodes, you know, I'm like, hey, bring something to the table here that's from your childhood or from something, like, what is meaningful to you? And we'll figure out how to make it, you know, a really special version of it and hear the stories behind it. Food opens people up.
Yeah,
and it does. Cooking really opens people up because, and I don't know the science behind it. I'm sure there's some doctors out there that would do a lot better job explaining this, like why it actually happens. But when you're cooking, your brain is engaged. And I'll notice, like when Sam and I are like in the thick of it, you're much more willing to just open up. Maybe because like some of your brain is engaged in this activity. And so it's not like keeping those protective barriers up.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's another thing that, come to find out, having this set up as a cooking show, it allows for us to be more open and more willing to talk about things. And just like, I don't know, every time I cook with somebody, maybe not every time, but a lot of the times, I'm having a blast. I'm loving it, right? And you're probably engaged in like really great conversations or really helpful conversations. And that's just been a kind of a, like, I guess I suspected it would be that way, but it's really borne out on camera for sure.
I love that.
Yeah.
What would you want to cover that we haven't already talked about today?
That's a good question, Sean. I mean, I think it's intriguing to me that there are some of these conferences, Military Creator Con is one of them, right? Where I had to really think about the kind of show I wanted to be on YouTube because there is so much stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And like, how are you going to do it? And it's not like we've broken out and become, you know, Mr. Beast or anything, right? Like we're still trying to find our way and build our audience and understand what works.
Right.
Like every day's a learning experience. But I know after having read so much about it, it's like so many people give up after the first little bit, right? They hit that first wall.
Oh yeah.
Or they can't get over, you know, like I can't get over 500 or I can't get over 1,000 or I can't get over 5,000 and they stop. But what they're actually doing is it's probably something the world needs. And for me, going back to those takeaways, like what can I say and do and be an example of that shows that it takes courage to keep going. But a lot of it, like you can't just get sucked into it for the metrics piece of it. Some of it's just like, we do a lot of this because it helps us. It like to serve others. And Ryan Mannion, I guess on one of our episodes said this, like she found out that by serving others, she could heal herself.
Mm.
And so a lot of that meaning that you may get from creating something, whether it's a podcast, a jewelry company, like whatever it is that you're finding meaning in, especially post-service, like all of us are, you know, don't let the metrics or the algorithms, the challenges that come with being any sort of artist or creator, like stop you from trying, you know, being courageous and giving it a good shot. That doesn't mean like you can't not do anything. You have to be willing to learn new things and go out and try new things, experiment.
Yeah.
But like, don't just give up because you think it's not going to work out or you feel like it's too hard. There's people out there that are willing to help you, that want to help you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of resources, you know, take advantage of that. I think that's what keeps me going. It's like, I can always turn to somebody or I can always try to learn something new. And even if I face challenges or obstacles, there's a whole network of people and a network of resources that are out there willing to help.
Yeah, absolutely love that. Looking forward to your session at Military Creator Con, and I'm so excited to meet you in person.
Thanks, Sean. Same. Samesies.
Samesies. Everybody listening right now, please go to militarycreatorcon.com. Make sure that you share this out to your military community, to your veteran community, and spread the word that Military Creator Con is happening in Arlington, Texas, April 16th through the 18th. We have an amazing event planned for you, and we would love to have as many people there as possible to talk about the creation, the launch, the monetization, what it looks like to be a military creator, and this community that we're building, these military creators from all walks of life, all branches of service, all industries that have creators are coming together to teach, learn, and network and build this community. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you on the next episode.
At militarycreatorcon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.